Mr. Harry Hubbard is joining me. As you can tell, it's just, wow. I could have him on probably all week long, and we're just not really just touching the topic of forbidden archaeology. One of my most favorite things, I'm a history buff. I study history, not in the buff, but I am a fan of history, be it Utah history, being Western indigenous tribe history, whether, you know, but this as a young man, when I saw this human skull, massive, I mean, massive skull, at least 4 or 5 times bigger than a normal human skull, and how it just, was just not even in the news, I couldn't believe it. Well, my guest today was probably, like I said in the first hour, has forgotten a lot more than most people ever know in their life about this type of subject matter. I want to just ask you, Harry, what in the world do you make of the Library of Alexandria? You know, this one of the, if you look at anybody that's honest and objective, this great library of Alexandria, Egypt, was probably the big wonder of the ancient world. Why? Because it had all of the ancient sea maps. Now, why would you have ancient Mariner sea maps that came in, and yet it was burned by who was the Roman emperor that burned the Alexandria library to the ground? Why?
Yeah, it caught on fire, but the Saracens burned it down. But what was left of it, I think, in the mid 600s, what anything that was left. But there was also the library at Corinth. There was the library at Antioch, and there was a library at this is before Rome. I can't remember. There was another one too, maybe Sidon or Tyre, somewhere else. But they were all in competition with each other. And even though, you know, those maps, the ancient maps, they would have been very, very primitive. I mean, somewhat similar to what we see on stone. And now these maps that I show that are carved on stone have been forensically tested. They are for real. They are the oldest maps, oldest extant maps in the world. And there's like 20 of them that show the Mississippi, the Ohio, Illinois River, Missouri River, the bottom of the Great Lakes, on and on and on, and all of these mound systems and ancient villages all up and down the Mississippi and the Ohio. I mean, just right there close to Caven Rock, across the river from Caven Rock, there was Talu. They estimated it at over 30,000 inhabitants. And they estimated over 100,000 inhabitants at Cahokia. And that's, I mean, look at Wine Garden, Winter Garden. There's several places in Mississippi. There's just massive mound complex all up through the Arkansas River, all over Louisiana. And there's all, the scholars are all bickering over which one is the oldest, which one is the biggest, which is Adena Hopewell, you know. There's, you know, Middle Woodland, Middle Mississippian. There's all the scholars try to put everything into a little slotted box. This is this, this is that. And they don't know. They don't have a clue, you know. Which brings me to, you know, the difference. You know, I studied pottery. I studied ancient cultures in the American Southwest. And I'll give you, for instance, the difference between Salado polychrome pottery and Gila River polychrome pottery is 40 miles. Same exact damn thing. Okay, so what's the difference between Hopewell and Adena? 8 miles. That's it. Well, so I like, you know, it becomes a joke, you know, of people trying to put, you know, names and dates on things, you know. We don't know. But yeah. Does our friend John, does he ever work with you on your Story Behind the Story radio show, or you have
he
another guest?
He kind of likes
code,
to remain kind of incognito, but you know, yeah, he just comes up with the most amazing connections. as you know, I put him in touch with you. You had a we had quite a three-way conversation a few weeks back. Stunning. The thing
it lasted
that
for hours. That's the thing about us. We get on the phone, we can't get off. And you guys knew everybody that I knew. And how come we haven't known each other for the past 20 years? I can't figure that out.
Yeah. I just say that I think that I have to believe that when you talk about truth coming out, this is the most important part of the truth. Because how can you know where you're going if you have no idea of the origins of where we've been? You right. hide the history. You hide so much of the story of humanity. And that to me is capital crime in my book. It's just, man, you got to tell the truth with this, no matter where it goes, right? And that's, you know, we touched on some of these like the Serpent Mounds of Ohio, all of the Hopewell culture. But the more I find out about, you know, Little Egypt, my goodness, why is there not massive archaeological expeditions mapping that out? And it just blows my mind that they're not doing it. You said it best. They don't want to prove that because they'd have to rewrite the books, and there's no such thing as evolution at that point, is there?
Right. And you got Harcourt, Brace, Yohanovich, Doubleday, McMillan that print all of the education books, just make them rubbish. They'd have to reprint everything, and they don't want to do that. They like their educational books for grade school and junior high and high school. They want them all to say the same thing. So that's how you get your school accredited, is if you make sure that you have all the propaganda in line. And same thing with college. You know, that was the thing is I would, when I was traveling with some of my bands, I'd go to college bookstores. This is back in the early 80s when anybody could walk into a college bookstore, and I'm a very fast reader. So in a week's time, if I was in like Charleston, South Carolina, I could go to the college, the bookstore there, and read 100 books and then go to the next college. Well, once you've read the books in like one or two or even three college bookstores, which to me is better than their libraries, okay? You kind of want to know what they're teaching. They're all the same. They start repeating. There's no difference. So you can pay $90,000 for a semester or $8,000 for a semester, and it's the same books. It's the same as like when I was in high school. Private school and public school use the same books. Well, what's the difference? Save you money. So, you know, it's not that much of a feat. You know, I mean, if I went to a college bookstore and I saw a book about history that, or languages that I didn't know anything about, I want to check that out. But it didn't happen.
I gotta put a plug out for Muammar Gaddafi. At least, you know, I don't know the man, but you know, I have interviewed people that came to Utah on the Libyan education plan, which is learn all you want because it's free. There is no tuition. There is no you want to get 20 PhDs. Done. That's what he was all about. I mean, this gal that I interviewed, it was years ago when he was still alive, and she could not believe how demonized he had been in the Western media. And so she came on the story behind the story and told her experience in Libya as a woman, and the reverence they had for Colonel Gaddafi, who was no way, she said, power mad, evil dictator. People loved him for the most part. And so, yeah, we see all these things, so much twisting. And you got going in debt for student loans don't go.
That's a new concept. When me and you were coming up, these people didn't go totally into the hole for a PhD, $100,000 for a PhD that they're going to be paying on for the next 20. Okay, but now, getting back to Muammar Gaddafi, he wrote like 6 or 8 volumes of the history of Libya.
Yeah.
Okay. How many presidents have we ever had that could even write one history book or even half an inch of history book? And he wrote 6 volumes of his history of Libya?
Yeah. So that's what I was going to bring up. You know, the king of Libya anciently ties into Alexander. Yeah, that's the history of the sands of Libya, isn't it? Amazing, amazing facts. And yet he's demonized. Why? The big thing is, guess what? He nationalized the national resources. The oil that's under it doesn't belong to multinational big corporations to use to make money off of education, et cetera, et cetera. No, he nationalized it and made it belonged to the people who got a house.
He was also trying to get Libya back onto a gold standard too. He had plenty of gold. And remember, Hillary, we came, we saw, and he died.
He died. Ha ha. Way to go.
Yeah.
And what happened to the Libyan gold? Well, it just happens that the Clinton gold mine in Haiti suddenly is flushed. Suddenly it's finding all this really rich gold. And it was never made a profit until she came to Libya and he died. And
there's another one too. A couple that I did a video years ago called No News is Good News. And I've done some reprises on it too. And I'm fixing to be doing another one. Cause I'm getting back into, cutting more videos. I took a year off from making videos and I've just gotten back into it recently, which is a story in itself. And maybe we can touch on it this time or not, but you remember years ago, Saddam Hussein had a solid gold carriage. You know, he had a carriage made out of solid gold and it was on TV. He was in it. Well, what happened to that?
It was too heavy to pull by a horse.
I think it ended up in Dick Cheney's garage.
Probably. Oh,
and now you remember when they were in, this was another one, real cute, when the Marines went into, okay, Saddam Hussein had like five or six palaces, I think, and they were in one of his palaces, and some Marine fell up against the wall or some way, somehow, busted through or found $600 million behind a wall, behind a false wall. $600 million. Now, you may remember that or not. I don't know. It was in the news and out of the news because one of the reporters made the mistake of saying they were uncirculated. And anybody that collects currencies knows that that ain't right. That means that Saddam Hussein knew the guy that flew the plane. The guy that flew the plane knew the guy that printed it. The guy that printed it knew the guy that whisked it out the back door. It went straight to, you know, Philadelphia's in Bureau of Engraving. I mean, there was a key word, uncirculated. And then as soon as that happened, it, boom, it was yanked right out of the news. There's been so many stories yanked right out of the news. I knew it. No news is good news. And I've done a couple of reprises, and I'm going to be doing some more, too.
Hussein was tied into Poppy Bush when he was CIA director. In fact, he was one of the CIA operatives, by the way. That's pretty well proven, too. So, yeah. I want to get your take going back on the topic of ancient civilizations. What's your take on the stuff that's coming out? I've got a book that I'm dissecting on the Tartarians. What's your take on Tartaria and that?
Well, that's a good way to go. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. And these people that are in the Tartaria or Tartars, okay, they have no clue. Okay, so let me ask you, what year are you talking about as far as Tartaria goes? What year?
Nobody really can tell you. It's just a wide range. What I'm getting out of these books is
okay.
Wide
swath. Genghis Khan wiped out all the Tartars in what, 1100 or early 12th century AD. Wiped them all out. They were gone. He chased them as far north until his horses ran out of grass to eat. All right. So then the whole area of southern Russia later became known as Tartaria. There, okay, and just ask anybody. Considering the Tartaria Empire, can they name me one king of Tartaria? No. Well, what was the capital of Tartaria? Well, no, but just make it up as you go. There was none. Is there any aqueducts in Tartaria? No. Are there any cities or buildings in Tartaria? No. Can somebody tell me one poet from Tartaria? No. How about a historian from Tartaria? No. So you have to jump back over into the 1400s. And by then, the Saracens had taken over all of Lower Russia and called it Tartaria, because that's where the Tartars were initially. And now you got the, now they're trying to put the Eskimo as the as the Tartars. Eskimo. Well, show me one Eskimo village, that one Eskimo city that has buildings, high rises, or aqueducts or something. No, they just live in igloos. And that's an advanced civilization, I guess, you know. They just make it up as they go. And all these people, oh, man, Tartaria was a vast empire. Who was the king? Can you name me one king? Can you give me, is there any painting? Was there an artist? How about clothing? Is there Tartarian clothing? And there is none. There is, it doesn't exist. There is no Tartaria. There, the Tartars were wiped out by Genghis Khan, and they never, ever, they were never, ever again until the Saracens went. And that was like in the mid-1300s. So always ask, if they start making Tartaria, what year are you talking about? What year are you talking about? 1100, 1200, 800, 900, 1300, 1400, 1500s? Even by the 1500s, the Saracens didn't have any buildings or anything going. Oh, there's this vast civilization. Well, it was all Saracens.
Who were the Tartars then that Genghis Khan put to the sword?
They were the people. They were the actual Tartarians. They were the Tartars. They were the Tartars, and they became Russians.
Uh huh. So,
and there are Russians today. I've met Russians that they say, "Oh, we came from descent of Tatar." Tatar. They don't call them Tartars. They call them Tatars. Well, if that's what they want to say, and the Russians that have told me that were blue eyed, red haired, blonde haired, whatever. You know, they were just there has been so, and that's another one. That's another one. And they say, oh, well, look, Tartaria's on these old maps from the 1500s. Well, yeah, but that doesn't go back to ancient times. For me, ancient times is 2,000 years ago. 1,000 years ago is medieval, or the golden age of Islam, which is the dark ages for everybody else. The dark ages was the golden age of Islam. People don't get that, guys. But that's the truth. And so, but they were just a bunch of, there's no Tartar inscription. Well, what languages did they speak?
Tartarian.
That should be obviously simple enough. Well, what language did they speak? Was it Russian? No, Slavic? No. Did they speak Chinese? What did they speak? No, they don't know. But by the time the Saracens got there, they were speaking Arabic or Turkish. Turkish. Which is, you know, Turkey's right there. You know, just run up a few hundred miles there and just kind of cut. Because it was all in Lower Russia, because you get a little bit above the middle of Russia and it gets cold in the wintertime.
Got to have some bearskins and some vodka, right, to keep yourself.
Well, there's not a lot of trees in the steppes either. You know, and that's what gets me is you know, these people were Tartaria. Have you ever seen the landscape of Tartaria? Your Tartaria? No. Well, it's just a bunch of hills with nothing on them. Hey, what you going to eat? Well, how are you going to stay warm? What are you going to make clothes out of? It's barren. It's not a desert, but it's barren. I'm just real skeptical about that. I mean, and that's a new sensation. This Tartarian. Tartarian, that happens in the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah, but there's the architectural structures, the engineering. I'm a kind of a fan of the. I'm kind of airing on History Channel a little bit, and that it's the underground cities, underground empire. I forget the name of the host. I mean, he's got some pretty good stuff about, you know, about the Jerusalem. I know, good heavens, been there on some archaeological digs in Jerusalem. There's massive underground cities under Jerusalem. I mean, massive. That they, and there's the port city that not even 5% of it's been excavated, going multiple layers down deep. You know, who built that? Why could those? That's the enigma. That's the question. Could they? Is there a civilization in the earth that does these things that we just don't know about? Could that be the hidden big secret civilization in the earth?
They found that huge underground complex in China a few years ago. It was like a square water hole or something. Uh-huh. And some guys went down diving in it, and then they ended up pumping it out, and it ended up being a huge complex. And it's like, how did they do that? How did they see? And it's the same thing with all those underground cities in Turkey. How did they carve all that out with what they had to see by? I mean, it wasn't torches. It wasn't fire torches. How did they see where they were going? And they found a cave in Ross County, Ohio, along the Ohio River, in the 1800s. And it had a shaft that you went down into, and then there was a huge giant laying across a huge couch. I think it's like it wasn't a huge giant. It was like he's only like 10 feet, and laying on a cave, all carved out of one stone. The whole room was carved out of stone. How they see that? And another thing too is when you're carving stone, all these fragments jumping, unless you carve stuff up, it just jumps up into your eyes. Especially, you know, I mean, how do they do that? How do they protect their eyes? I don't get it. There's so many things that we won't know. But that one cave they found in along the Ohio River, it was like 250 feet down or something. How'd they do that? Mm-hmm. 200 feet back, and then you had to go down in the back. And even in Egypt, with Brian, some of Brian Forrester's stuff, they found an underground cavern, and the items that they found down at the bottom were larger than the way to get there. In other words, the shaft was maybe like 8 feet by 8 feet, but the obelisk down in, or the coffin, the polished rock coffin at the bottom of it was like 10 feet by 10 feet. How did they do that? How did they get it down 200 feet? Rope?
I wanted to lead you with the last half an hour is there underground tunnel systems, in your opinion, based on the stones that you've interpreted? Is there underground Southern Illinois, Little Egypt, catacombs, massively. My vote, my educated opinion is not only yes, but hell yes. But what's your thoughts?
I'm going to say no, because there are some people that have been here in the area for the past several years, 6 years, 7 years, and you know who I'm talking about, and they claim that they found a tunnel system below the water line, that they've got these tunnels. But these two guys who are on the History Channel all the time, I won't say their names, but I've known them for 20 years, and you've known them for, John's known them for, John's been out there. They will say and do anything to create a false narrative. They lie. They lie all the time. They are liars because that's how they get their grants. There's only one way that they could get on the History Channel. That's by lying and just making claims that are outrageous. And nobody's there to correct them except for me and Paul. And we don't care. We don't care. And there's been so much crap on the History Channel. Don't believe anything. I mean, they were here, and Scott Walter was even complaining to them about how they plant stuff. How they planted stuff in Minnesota, how they planted stuff in Wisconsin or these other places. And Scott Walter, bless his heart, he doesn't have anything to do with that America Unearthed. He's just the actor. That's all he is. And forensic geologist doesn't even exist. What does a geologist need to be forensic for? And he goes, oh, I can do that. And he handed me a stone one time. Hey, look at this. What do you think? I just looked at it for 2 seconds. Hey, it's fake. Well, how do you know that? Well, because the Great Lakes were mapped out to the 1800s. He's stupid. These people think that they can stump me with a fake artifact, and I kick their butts every time.
So the Kincaid Cave, and I have checked this out at the Library of Congress. We have Major Powell, right? His first expedition down the Colorado, the suicide mission, they thought. And he does see this keyhole-looking cave carved quite a few feet that's been eroded down over the centuries in the Grand Canyon. He hikes up, and lo and behold, it's a massive Egyptian cave of catacombs, basically. Smithsonian comes in, what, 1870s? And with photographic equipment, finds it all. The next thing you know, it's kind of hidden away until Kincaid of the Smithsonian comes after the Great War and starts to really take out all the artifacts and box them up and ship them off. I have to say that's the deal.
I was the first person that I know of that even anybody else, Jerry Wills, his wife, Barbara, I think her name is, okay, that was on the History Channel concerning the Kincaid's Cave. They didn't know anything about the Grand Canyon until I showed them. I was the first person on record to determine that Kincaid's Cave was at the south end of the Marble Canyon on the south cliff wall. Actually, it's like southeast cliff wall at the end of the Grand Canyon, at the end of the Marble Canyon. I was because I had all these trail books from the 30s and 40s. My dad grew up in Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. He hung out and he graduated from Prescott High. So he was there. He worked on ruins. He did everything. He was there. And he had trail books. And I bought some other trail books at Borders in Tucson, if anybody's remembers Borders in Tucson. I buy up any Grand Canyon trail book that you can. You ever see one online? Buy it. They're jewels. And they changed the names. About World War II, they changed the names of and the places. The Bright Canyon, Bright Angel Canyon. This and that. The older trail books had it at one spot, and then the other day they were ever shipped everything a couple of miles, 2 miles here, 3 miles there, because everybody was getting down in there using these trail books, and they were getting stuck. They were getting broken ankles, broken knees, broken legs. So that's why they closed it all off. And I've done two presentations on that, actually, of why and how, and I showed you exactly. I got pictures of it, but from these old books. From these old books, it was no big deal. Everybody knew exactly where it was, but they're all dead now, And plus, they closed it off, and started limiting anybody going down the river there, which is good. I mean, when you're in the Grand Canyon, these helicopters, planes, whatever, the sound just echoes forever, and it is hard on the wildlife. And I knew a guide that from in Arizona. He worked on the Salado River, and I think the Gila River too, or one. And he said, as a guide, he said that he quit because the people he was guiding into on kayaks and rafts and canoes, they would all flip over, just made nothing but garbage. Just paper, plastic, bottles, helmets, just so much trash, just polluting the river just with tourism. But that's how they were making money. So, there's like, your program's called The Story Behind the Story. Well, there's a lot of stories behind those stories, There's just so much there that you don't see on the surface until you start looking around the back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Hey, I want to just bring Kevin Major Burdock in. He's our liaison, brings us out to the Philippine Islands. He has his own little private getaway there on an island in the Philippines, and he's a AI tech guru. Kevin, you still with us?
Sure, I'm sure.
Do you have any questions for Harry tonight? I bet you do.
Yeah, actually, one of the things that I was curious about, what do you guys make of this, if you remember back, when was this? Maybe about 6 months ago or maybe a little bit longer. Down in Mexico, they were boxing these aliens, and it just seemed to be like right at the time where there were all of these other problems politically that were happening, and it just seemed like when things like that. Do you think that a lot of some of this is from my point of view, when the government confirms something, like, you know, that means that it's probably not true. So what do you make about specifically what happened in Mexico where they had remember the little aliens that they unboxed and nobody really cared?
Is that a question for me?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
it was very faint. I'm not clear what the question was. There was a lead up to it. Something about Mexico.
Well, a while back there was the Mexican government unboxed, like they just put on display these little aliens, and nobody seemed to care about it. I was wondering if you guys had heard about that and what your opinion of it was.
If it's the one that I saw, I thought it was clearly fake. I thought it was clearly fraud. And there was one, I think from South America, Peru or Ecuador or something, had this little, if an alien looks like Predator, I don't count it. You know what I mean? If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Copy that.
And so sure. I don't know. I guess, you know, but after Arnold Schwarzenegger's movies, then all these Predator aliens started popping up.
You gotta be locked in.
And you can tell they got the heavy syrup coming out of their mouth. I like that.
Like a good neighbor. Be good.
Yeah, that's
it.
Yeah.
Well, so what kind of archaeology does the Philippine government tend to hide? As I know you can't talk about political things, but you know some things going down there in that neck of the woods too. It's not just in America, it seems like it's worldwide, isn't it? It's just, come on.
Yeah, I don't know. We really haven't had much over here. yeah, there really hasn't since I've been here. There hasn't been, like, and you would think that there's the culture and the religion goes back, and there's a lot of superstition. When you talk about things that happened before the 1500s over here, how the previous religion really did have a lot of multiple gods and things coming out of the sky and things of that nature. So, yeah, so you would think that there would be maybe a more of a tendency to believe in something or search out. But I don't see it in modern day. I mean, people are frankly actually kind of focused on just making a living, getting enough money to eat. Everybody over here.
Isn't that just the way it is? Keep people just focused on surviving and don't think deep. I mean, isn't that what Pol Pot and Cambodia and Killing Fields was all about?
Look over here, but don't look over there.
That's right. So,
and I just want to say that I've done two or three videos on the artifacts from this tomb that clearly show reptilians, grays, gator people, this and that. And that was initially back in the early 90s. One of the problems that we ran up to was the scholars. They can't say, man, you know, that a basket-like object moves swiftly across the sky where its armor is made of bronze and it has twisting red lights. Oh, no, no, you got to change that. You got to change that decipherment. And one of them was clearly a woman because she had mammary glands and she's in an atmospheric suit. And the inscription is in Egyptian glyph that says, coming out of a metallic object that flies swiftly into the abode of Ra, which goes up to the, okay, that is undeniable. And there are so many of them. I've done two or three videos on just the artifacts showing extraterrestrials, lizard people, or this, whatever you want to call them. And that's what you were talking about earlier. I mean, well, a couple of days ago, you were, you know, that's kind of one of the things that got you interested in all of them. There's just not one or two, dozens and dozens.
Yeah, and I don't think they come because if they were from planets far, far away, they'd colonize and be made known. John D'Souza, he makes a strong case in his book, The Extraterrestrials. These are interdimensional entities. They've always been with us throughout, in antiquities. You see them appearing, going out, interacting. The best way that he describes it is, I got to agree with him. These are demonic entities, flat out simple, and they're there to deceive people and lie to people to get them to think something's wrong. And that I think that makes the most logical sense. What do you think?
I don't know. There's so many different kinds and styles and everything. But, you know, if you had, I put myself into the rich person mode, okay, let's say that you have a ship and you've got an American Express, but we call it Galactic Express card. You can go anywhere in the galaxy that you want to go. Where are you going to go? You're going to go to the best restaurants. You're going to go where the food is better than anywhere, or they got the best beer or the best soup. I remember my friends in Florida, they drive 100 miles for a good bowl of soup on their motorcycles. So, you know, like, rich people today, they'll get a hop in their little plane and they'll fly, you know, 2 or 3 hours just to have lunch at some bistro somewhere, whatever. And I think that's kind of where they go. I mean, if you can go anywhere in the world, anywhere in the galaxy, I'd go, you know, to where the restaurants were. What do you want to do? Go to the fanciest bathrooms? Go to the fountains or whatever? You're going to get hungry. I mean, I would imagine anybody's got to eat. Even little grays probably got to eat something. Even though we don't know what their digestive system is or whatever, but and some of the new stuff coming out. Because 20 years ago, all these reporters, like in Washington, D.C., Fox News, Anderson Cooper, there's a clod that we can always refer to. Okay, you could take them and put them on an alien ship, a UFO, and they would say, I don't believe this. They would come out and say, this isn't true. This isn't true. You could put them on a spaceship. Now they're starting to come out a lot more, and there are so many people that have seen so many things. I guarantee you in my lifetime, I have seen hundreds, and some of them very, very large. Down in New Mexico. In New Mexico, aliens are the beach of Florida. They're in everything. You got so many. You got alien beer, you got space dust beer, and you got all these aliens at the bars and the taverns. They got them sitting up everywhere. And I have seen them. The largest one I ever saw was 2.5 miles in diameter. Tell me the government didn't know about that.
Well, of course.
2.5 miles in diameter. Oh, and the one in front of it, a few miles, was 1.5 miles in diameter. And they moved in tandem. And you can go back to the same spot and see them again, I'm pretty sure. Me and Paul saw them several times.
Well, do they take you on board and give you a buffet?
That's a good question. No, what we were doing is we were yelling at them because there were so many of these subordinate pills in the sky. You can see the mothership in the background, 40 miles away. This is not close up. They're 40 miles away. And you know, because Ash Peak is 44 miles away, and they're in front of that peak. And we started cussing them out. Well, not cussing them out, just insulting them. Your mother was a cricket, and your dad was a grasshopper. You know, your grandfather, your grandmother was a scorpion. You know, ugly spider. And we were sitting, and they would come, they would come, these white balls of light, these ships would come at us. And they would they were coming right at us. I mean, it's me and him within, there's nobody else within 40, 50 miles, okay? And these ships are coming right at us, and within a quarter mile or so, poof, they just disappear. And they're coming right at us. And Paul's shooting them a bird. Come on. They don't mess with it. And then the next day, though, after that happened, the next day, there were 13 black helicopters headed right to that spot. We saw them.
13. John Carpenter, the filmmaker, I interviewed Roddy Piper, the star of They Live, on the show years. I mean, when he was still in good shape, but before his steroids came down and whacked him. But he said this quote. I'll never forget the interview. He says, when we were filming this, Carpenter said all along, this was not science fiction. It's a documentary. The movie They Live. It's a B movie, but have you seen it? What's your thoughts on They Live?
The They Live? Oh yeah. It's a good movie. Yeah. But that can go a couple of different ways. It can go to people that live right here. You know, it can go to your next door neighbor. but yeah, seen that flick a couple of times. I think part of the problem is that they are so far ahead of us. Where are they going to put their Darwin theory of evolution? And if it comes out normal, or everyday mainstream, that these aliens have been flying around, well, you throw Darwinism and your Neanderthal. Okay, now bear in mind, they still don't have any Neanderthal men. They still don't have no Cro-Magnon. They still ain't got no Peking man. They don't have any of these guys. And the skulls that you see in the books, they are all made out of ceramic. And I knew the guy that made them. He worked at Ohio State University. He was a ceramicist. And he worked with anthropologists, and they would create these heads of showing the evolutionary pieces, or the evolution of man, of humans, okay, Homo sapiens. And the way you can always tell that they're fake is they got perfect teeth. I mean, like they had braces. ancient skulls, they're missing teeth, man. They're missing teeth. And that's one of the telltales. And so if you're looking at a Neanderthal skull and he's got perfect teeth, uppers and lowers, that's fake. And that's what they use to promote the Darwinian theory. Anything to get away from Christianity, anything to get away from the Bible. No creation, no this or that. It happened like this. And they say it's science. Well, it's science fiction is what it is, because you just make it up as you go. And that's the deal is nowadays, like with Tartaria. They make it up as they go. Certain religions, make it up as you go. Just make it up. Some of the stuff coming out today is just so far-fetched. Just make it up as you go and treat it like it's the truth. Treat it like it's the real thing. It's the real McCoy. And then you make up one, then make up something else. Once you're on that train of BS, the sky is not the limit anymore. I used to tell Paul, the sky is the limit. No, not anymore. The sky is just in the way. It goes way beyond the sky. Just make it up as you go. But there are so many people that believe bullcrap. And once you start believing bullcrap, it just goes on and on and on and on. Tartaria. Well, the Tartars. The Tartars had a big empire. Well, just on and on and on. Just crap.
Well, you know, I got in trouble on this show back. I got kind of censored because I made a clearly bad. I'll just repeat the mistake again today, because when you brought it up, said, well, there's no evidence of the missing link, the Neanderthal. I made the comment, golly, it's been 20 years ago. Just give it a few years and dig up Patrick Ewing's skeleton, and then you'll have the missing link in the jawbone. I got in trouble on that. Ooh, did I get in trouble on that?
Patrick Stewart. Were you talking about Patrick Stewart?
No, Patrick Ewing, the basketball player.
Oh, there. Okay.
The big center from
Georgetown. Well, they had that guy they dug up in Washington State, and he looked like Patrick Stewart from Star Trek. Kennewick man.
Yeah, that's Patrick Ewing's skull. I mean, just look. It is. Because I played collegiate basketball, and Patrick Ewing's skull is different than most. That's just thing. I wasn't casting racial aspersions.
Okay,
it's just different.
The mayor of New Orleans, the mayor of New Orleans. I can't remember his name. A melanated fella. His skull. He had an oblong skull. Mayor. Oh gosh, I can't remember his name. Anybody can. Former mayor of New Orleans, and while we're on the subject, and this was covered in ancient and forbidden archaeology, is the Calaveras skull.
Right.
Okay. So in Calaveras County, California, these two miners, they were gold miners. They were searching for gold. They had a tunnel that I think went 300 feet into the base of the mountain. They were 1,600 feet from the top of the mountain. And they came across the Calaveras skull. Huh. And that is so interesting. And through solid rock. How did this skull get here? I mean, you know, and then there's the guy that was digging, a landfill, I think in Utah, it's either Utah or Arizona somewhere, I can't remember exactly. And they had dug down, they hit bedrock. They hit limestone bedrock. And then they went underneath the bedrock, and they found human teeth. And that's recorded. It was a rock hound that was there. He goes, holy smokes, we got something big here. And that was before all the censorship happened.
But one of my first broadcasts on Story by the Story. I gotta tell you, Harry, one of my first broadcasts I was exposing. Down in little southern Utah, there's a place called Hurricane that's got some sandstone ledges and cliffs. Mm-hmm. I went down there and actually took pictures and talked about it on the radio and wanted to go on the TV with it, because it was it's on Bureau of Land Management public land, right? You have to hike in there quite a ways to get there. But here is a clear in the sedimentary sandstone. Three-toed dinosaur tracks going across the sandstone. The problem is tracking those the dinosaur tracks was clearly human footprints. How do you justify that? Well, you know what the response was with the BLM? Did you imagine what happened? Called jackhammer time.
Oh, okay. Well, the thing about the footprints of any animal, look at how many millions and millions of bison we had in the 1800s, and there's no fossilization going on of any of them. We don't have any fossilized buffalo tracks. There's no fossilization going on the planet that we know of right now. And so if there was a dinosaur track or one, you can go out to Denver, Colorado, just outside Littleton, and you see these dinosaur tracks going straight up the mountain. Well, the dinosaur tracks were there before that big piece of rock pushed up. And it's the size of a house. Okay, you got to have soft mud, some soft substance that the dinosaur leaves or human leaves a print in. And then it has to fossilize or petrify before the next rain. It can't sit there for a year or two in weather. It's going to lose its definition. It's going to lose its clarity before, you know, just one simple rain will destroy a footprint. So it had to happen right as soon as the footprint was made. There was a mountain in North Carolina where they found horse tracks, and the hooves were 8 inches across. That's the American Imperial horse that I'm pretty sure. Everything was bigger here. The flock, the horse, the camel, the beaver. They got a beaver that's 4.5 feet long.
Well, how about the big elephants?
But yeah, the American Imperial elephant. I got a book here somewhere. It says that there were 600 different kinds of elephants. There were several elephants that had no trunk. And there were several elephant species that had small trunks that they had. I don't know. This book is printed like in the 60s. Who put that all together? I don't know, man. There's so much. And that's a big animal. That's a big animal.
Uh-huh.
And but we can talk about dinosaurs for days. You got a 30-foot triceratops. And how do you get that? How much food is a 30-foot animal going to eat? He can't cross a creek. He can't climb up a mountain, and their eggs were 3 feet in diameter. What in the world? And then, see, I was the first one to call BS on the Ica stones, the ICA from Peru, the Ica stones. And it's simple, because the Ica stones had triceratops. There ain't no dinosaurs at all ever found in Peru. The triceratops was up in Montana and Alberta. That's 3,000-4,000 miles away. And these people believe that stuff is true? No, it's hard. It's hard for me to swallow the BS. I call BS on it. I look at it in 2 seconds and say, that's fake. That's fake.
Got all kinds of new stuff come out of Saudi Arabia that has Jewish marks. We talked about that.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, and it's all on a certain people's website. Paul did a research on that last night. Me and him were all over the place.
There it is. Well, I bet
we were all over the place.
Mr. May would come out with
that. If that was found in Arabia, don't you think Al Jazeera would be all over it? It'd be headline news in Al Jazeera, but no. It's only on Stick of Joseph, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I think our brother Wayne May will come up with some really good. I predict it'll be front page of Ancient American Magazine.
You just might. You just might be right. That proves it.
You won't take that bet, will you?
Well, no, I would. I would. But to me, some of that other stuff you've got is just far, far more fascinating. That is front page headline. I mean, some of that stuff you got is just.
Yeah, I got to get you looking at these. This is the prime stuff from the cave, okay? Because my friend paid top dollar for it, I know. And he made sure this was the best authenticated real stuff. You know what I'm saying? There was a lot that Mr. Burroughs put out that he made them up. And what a huge mistake that was to do that.
Well, he would take good stones and add to them. He would add characters. Once he saw a couple of our decipherment videos, he knew what he could add to these to get more money. I can put Cleopatra on a tab, but we'll see the Cleopatra on these stones is spelled with a K, and it's not Cleopatra. It's called Cleoptra. There's not no Cleo. It's Cleoptra. It's missing some vowels, and it has. They all start with a K, not a C. So,
well, we're about out of time. Again, my guest, if you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Harry Hubbard, he's a single gentleman, aren't you? But you have a couple of sweet cats to stay with you, but keep you company. And so what do you do for, I mean, you just absolutely keep studying and looking and debunking and waiting for the right source to come in and get in some artifacts that, I mean, there's a lot of things out there that need to be explained.
Yes, I agree.
Plain and simple.
I agree.
Well, Kevin, do you have anything you want to say goodnight?
Quite entertaining and educational. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, you kind of have a really hard time hearing you, but I got it. But I don't think Harry could hear you too well. But he just said, thanks for coming on the show. It was very entertaining.
Well, let's face it, he's 20,000 miles away, and his signal has to go up on the satellite. That's another 40,000 miles.
Yeah. But he really is in he really is in the Philippines. We're not just...
Yeah, I know.
It's always fun for me to ask him how the weather's going to be tomorrow.
Well, see, there's another one, because, like, what time is it in the Philippines right now?
It's 3 minutes to noon.
Okay, and the sun is up, correct?
Yep, yep.
No, okay, flat earthers, put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's what gets me. Why don't these flat earthers? I know people all over the world, and it'll be dark here and sunny there.
Because it moves around in a circle. We gotta go, ladies and gentlemen. This is
yeah. We'll be back. I'm still looking for curvature.
We are out of time, Harry. Thanks for being on the show.
All right.
Be in touch. God bless you. Be well. Be safe.
Let's do it again. Good night.
You bet. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.